I'm going to be presenting on some work that we're doing with a collaborative effort between Arizona NRCS. And can everyone hear me okay? Okay. So it's a joint project with Arizona NRCS and the University of Arizona entitled Assessment of Automated Image Segmentation for Predictive Soil Mapping. So we know that soil properties express a high variability across the landscape with both random and predictable components. And this variability limits our approach for traditional soil survey. To overcome this, many researchers have focused on digital soil mapping techniques and image segmentation to provide a means of capturing the soil landscape variability that might otherwise be missed with traditional methods. So this leads overall to improved soil survey data. Along with the high variability of the soils across the landscape, we also know that soils represent a continuum across that landscape. So often there's a trend in soil properties from one type to another. Therefore, the lines and polygons that we use to separate these different soil taxa are representing some critical element or some management concern that we would like to separate for management purposes. And when you think about an image segmentation process, we know that the input layers, in this case, something like surface reflectance or elevation-derived indices, are the things that the segmentation is keying in on. But we're really concerned with, you know, how does that relate to the soil properties? As soil scientists, we want to know how we can use this technology to advance our science. So how do the surface properties of the auxiliary data relate to the subsurface properties of the soil? Therefore, our objectives were to assess the effectiveness of automated image segmentation for differentiation of soil taxa, soil properties, and landscape metrics in three dimensions for an order 3 soil survey in southern Arizona. We used Definium's Developer 7.0 software for an automated image segmentation. And I won't go into great detail about this, but basically we're using slope layers and surface reflectance from Landsat data to derive a segmentation to relate that then to the soil properties. And this is for an area where the soil survey is currently being conducted by Arizona NRCS. And it's an initial soil survey, I should add. So this segmentation process basically goes from a raster data structure that you might find something as your remote sensing data to a vector data structure that you present soil survey data. So this image basically highlights our process where we integrate Landsat data here with a slope layer, and using the segmentation process, we then derive a segmentation of a polygon network that represents somewhat of a soil pre-map that you could use to take to the field. So here's some of our preliminary results. Using Google Earth as a background, notice that the black lines here represent the segmentation boundaries. And you can see that there is a good separation between geologic features and landscape positions and landforms. But what we're really interested in is how do the soil properties vary across these boundaries? And is there a relationship between the segmentation and the soil properties that we find? So to address this, we performed landscape transects across these boundaries of the segmentation. And that basically involved field descriptions conducted by Arizona NRCS soil scientists, and they were described according to National Cooperative Soil Survey standards. So you can see there's various properties that you get that are necessary for classification. And one of the things that we were able to derive was a redness rating that basically uses the Munsell color to relate that then to a redness rating associated with the iron oxide content. And after getting these data and the spatial distribution across the transect, we then used quantitative techniques to compare. So here's our study area. You can see in the image here on your left that we're in southeastern Arizona's basin and range. It's a semi-arid climate, obviously, and the apparent materials range from anything from granite to rhyolite, andesite, limestone, and all the associated basin fill that you get over time. And I'll point out here in this Landsat false color composite image that you can see a wide variability. For example, different shades of red representing different vegetation, and you can see the different age surfaces from different parent materials. So there's a wide variability that we can capture in this Landsat image. And in addition to the variability on this image, notice that there are three red arrows. And those arrows are the locations of the transects that I'm going to focus on today, focusing on how, again, the soils vary across the boundary of the segmentations that I showed you earlier. So moving on to some results, but first just to give you an idea of what the landscape really looks like. For those of you not familiar with the Sonoran Desert, this is a typical landscape, and notice that there's very subtle changes across this landscape, but in reality the soils can vary a great deal. So now just starting with the first transect, you can see first of all that I've included a good bit of information here, so I'm going to walk you through that first off. First you can see that this is transect 1. It's formed on a granitic alluvial fan, and there's an orientation of the transect in the corners of the image. So south, this one's southeast to northwest, and you'll recognize this as a Google image, and the yellow lines here represent our segmentation boundaries. Here the green markers represent the location of the profile descriptions that I have data for, and you can see on the image on the lower left that this is the location of this transect is where the red arrow is located, right in here. So first of all, you can see that it doesn't appear to be much difference between the surface reflectance of this image, and notice that there are quite a few wash networks that dissect the fan. So I've included the same image at the top of the slide here so that you can have a reference, and I've also added a landscape profile. So you can see this is extracted elevation data. You can get an idea of what the landscape looks like and try to connect that to the soils that you see. In this case, the black line represents 1 kilometer, and you can see the elevation here on the y-axis. And the yellow line here is lined up with the segmentation. So the yellow line represents a segmentation boundary. And I've included the grade group classification of the soils at each location. And basically, the soils on the left side of this segmentation boundary are classified as paleoargids. So there are aridisols with an argillic horizon and a red color, okay? Near the segmentation boundary, there's soils are classified as a torrey fluvent. So this is one of your wash networks, a drainage network. And the soils on the right side of the segmentation are generally haplocambid. So these are less developed soils with a cambic horizon. Again, quite different from the paleoargid. So now to get to a little bit more of the meat here behind this, looking at soil properties and how they differ with the segmentation, you can see that I've extracted the clay percentage from the description. So here we have clay percentage increasing on the x-axis with depth and the y-axis. And note that the red line represents the paleoargid. So you can see a very distinct increase in clay with depth, which is characteristic of the argillic horizon, in contrast to the haplocambid, which has just a very subtle difference in clay. Looking at the redness rating, where higher redness rating indicates more iron oxide content and more soil development, you can see that the paleoargid, if I can get this to work here, paleoargid has a more red color, more iron oxide content, a little bit more development. So there's a very distinct difference between the soils, both on the soil properties as well as the taxonomic classification. So looking at transect 2 now, these soils are formed on volcanic alluvial fans, and you can notice that there's a distinct mesa formation. Okay, so this is a west to east transect where the landscape profile shows that you have a lower side slope or a foot slope, you have then an upper side slope, and then the mesa that I mentioned before. So in this case, the transect is divided by two segmentations. The soils in the lower foot slope area are classified as typic petrocalcids. So these are very shallow soils. They're kind of the run-of-the-mill petrocalcic horizon, so or petrocalcid soil with a petrocalcic horizon. So lots of carbonates that are cemented. And then in the upper side slope, the soils are calcic petrocalcids. So in addition to that petrocalcic horizon, they also have a calcic horizon above. So lots and lots of carbonates. And then on the mesa, the soils are classified as ostalphic petrocalcids. So basically, these are soils with an argillic horizon, a little bit wetter, noticing the ostalphic modifier. So there's a distinct difference, again, with the taxonomic breaks of the soil. If we look at the soil properties in this case, we can see that the ostalphic petrocalcid, which I mentioned has an argillic horizon, it has a very distinct increase in clay with depth. That's the red line. Whereas the typic and calcic petrocalcids, the yellow and blue lines respectively, have a less clay percentage. And also notice that the extent to which these lines extend depth-wise represents the depth to the petrocalcic horizon. So as you traverse this transect upslope, the depth to the petrocalcic horizon increases. So that's yet another difference that we've identified with our segmentation. Looking at the redness rating, you can again see that this ostalphic petrocalcid with a little bit more moisture, you have more clay alluviation and the argillic horizon. And notice that here the calcic petrocalcid has the lowest redness rating, which is a result of all the carbonates that are in the calcic soil. Okay, so that's influenced the color. So again, there's a very noticeable difference with our segmentations. Transect 3 is formed also on volcanic parent material in an upland setting. And notice here that this ridgeline runs slightly southwest to northeast. So on this side, on the west side of the transect, it's somewhat northwest facing compared to the other side of the ridgeline, which is southeast facing. And in these systems, a subtle change in moisture content can really have a striking effect on the soil properties that form. So we'll see that in the next slide. In this case, both soils at the foot slope are classified as haplocambids. So again, these are not very well developed, but these are close to the basin fill foot slope areas. Coming up the northwest facing slope, the soils are classified as haplargids. So these are soils, again, with argillic horizons that allowed the clay movement with a little bit of moisture on that cooler, wetter slope. On the southeast facing slope, the soils are classified as haplocalcids, so there's an accumulation of carbonates, calcium carbonate primarily, and this is on the drier southeastern facing slope. So a very striking difference again with this separation. If we look at the soil properties that are associated with the classification here, notice that the haplargid has a very distinct increase in clay with depth, and as opposed to the haplocalcid. And the redness rating shows that the haplargid also has a more red in color. So in summary, the segmentation boundaries effectively differentiate soil map units as well as geomorphic surfaces. This was indicated by depth to diagnostic horizons, also by the soil texture and the redness rating. We recognize that all the lines that you saw on the image segmentations and the Google Earth images don't perfectly represent the soil map units, as this is just a pre-map, but the important thing is that the segmentations effectively differentiated soil properties, which can be very useful as we proceed with soil survey and updates of existing soil survey. So again, I'll point this out again, that our very exciting conclusion is that our segmentation clearly separated the soil types, soil classes, as well as soil properties, and the connection of the soil classes and surface reflectance, which we use for our segmentation, were important for differentiating the soil taxonomic groups and individual soil properties. And the ground truthing that we have connected with our segmentation data provides insight on how the segmentation boundaries were placed across the landscape. So what are the drivers in the segmentation process that are going to be useful for identifying soil property differences? And these results indicate the utility of automated image segmentation for soil mapping. And it provides a very good connection between the soil properties and soil classes with the auxiliary data that are available as remotely sensed data. And this is very important as we continue our modeling efforts to produce a raster-based map of soil properties that can be useful for hydrologic modeling and also for possibly improving soil survey data for those that are interested in modeling and such. So just one reference for the redness rating, and that's all I have. Thank you for your time, and I'll take any questions that you might have.
We've got time for a couple quick questions.
So you mentioned statistics in your methods, but you didn't talk about any. What did you use to compare the different segmentation areas?
We actually just used the graphing of the data with depth. So we actually did not include any statistical differences. But there are visual differences.
Right, yeah.
Can you speculate on how the line would have been drawn by one of the NRCS soil scientists in the absence of the redness rating or some of the other imagery? How would a soil scientist have drawn a preliminary map from a stereoscope, for example? Can you speculate on the differences?
Okay, so the differences between a traditional approach.
Yeah.
And the automated segmentation approach for producing line work, more or less, right?
Yes.
Well, I'm working very closely with soil scientists with about 10 years of mapping experience, and we've settled on this segmentation as a very good pre-map. So the line work separated things that we would normally do in a traditional approach based on landform, so slope differences, and this is an order 3 survey, so we recognize that some things will be lumped together, some soil associations and consociations, but we feel that the segmentation approach would speed up the process of the traditional approach, assuming that you have the correct input data layers. So in this case, slope is very important in these landscapes, and the surface reflectance band that we chose, Landsat band 4, was very important for differentiating different geologies. So a very similar to what you would find with a traditional approach.
Have you had any success using the segmentation at a finer scale to pull out components coherently?
We have explored some different scales of segmentation, and our initial goal was to really develop a pre-map at the order 3 level. So yes, we have created pre-maps that would represent more polygons, but we're not sure how those would relate to the soil properties. But based on...
creates more classes and you can coherently interpret it one.
That's right. A lot of the classes are based on aspect breaks, which, as I pointed out in transect number 3, I believe, that there is a difference between taxonomy of the soils with aspect breaks. So there is definite possibility of using a finer resolution for breaking out components, especially as we move on to update mode with soil survey.
Can you use the, how wide can you apply this method in addition to this semi-desert and desert areas? Do you think, is it applicable in other areas where you have dense vegetation or forest?
Well, it's definitely useful in areas where there's not much vegetation, as you mentioned, and the problem does arise where you have vegetation that it's difficult to separate the geologies and the different soil surfaces. But one thing that's very important here is the elevation data. Because the elevation data models the movement of water across the surface and aspect differences, we can somewhat extend below the vegetation layer to get an idea of the soil processes that are occurring and the energy distribution across the surface.
Besides the absolute segmentation, does it give you any metrics on the segmentation to like interpret their quality in terms of compactness or diversity?
So, in other words,
within an absolute,
can can you derive classification from the segmentation? Is that what you're...
Can you, is there any statistical measure to look at the segmentation and see how it's doing? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You can actually summarize the data within polygons using the software and also using other GIS softwares to provide, say, average slope, get the standard deviation of the slope classes within each polygon. You can do the same thing with reflectance data, but again, making the connection between, say, a reflectance layer and the soil may not be very as clear as you might hope.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.